Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I am Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm disappointed. I thought you were going to start with a different voice there, Brian.
You're throwing me off. I had all sorts of stuff.
Oh, I'm sad.
Now you've...
I'm Drew. I'm disappointed, but I'm Drew.
Hey, guys, make sure you follow us on Twitter. We are Horrible PCast, HorrorBullPCast. Facebook, we are The Horrible Podcast. You can go to thehorriblepodcast.com. We prefer you go to thehorriblepodcast.com. Since we're paying for a website. And Stitcher Radio, The Horrible Podcast. iTunes, we're The Horrible Podcast. We're The Horrible Podcast.
Yeah, just look for The Horrible Podcast.
The only thing where we're not really fully spelled out The Horrible Podcast is Twitter because of their limitations.
Yeah.
And we have
that's what I came up with when I created the account. I thought it was cool.
So it was Tyler's limitations.
That's the problem with our podcast is just my limitations.
I mean, what else would we have called it if not Horrible PCast? Horrible Pod?
We could have been Horrible Pod. Horror Pod.
Or just Horrible. I think Horrible was already taken.
Horrible. Yeah, I think Horrible was already taken.
Yeah, an HB podcast just doesn't say enough. Mm-mm.
And I already have my other one about male prostitution called the HJ podcast.
Yeah, that one wouldn't work either.
Right. Well, it's working. It's just not working in terms of our...
You're working.
Right, in terms of our podcast that we're doing right now, it's not working.
That podcast is working for you.
Right.
How is that going? Good, sad job?
I've got my hands full. Oh, my God.
You would have been a great comedian in the 80s.
Well, that's when I grew up, so it makes sense. Tonight's episode...
2012?
The Citadel. I'm sorry. Just Citadel.
Yeah. Right.
Just Citadel. The Citadel was from the 40s or something?
And isn't it also... I'm going to go out on a limb here. Isn't it also a sports team? Isn't there also a sports team called the Citadel?
Well, there's a
university,
college.
And they have teams.
There's a college called the Citadel.
Military. Academy.
Yeah.
School. Military school.
Oh, two things that I really like, sports and military.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jax is going to join the military, don't you think?
And play sports.
After years of sports, football, and he'll triple sports like baseball, basketball, and football. There's one thing the centers don't have to worry about is basketball. That's not in our cards.
No.
We are not tall people.
He'll probably also be president of the FCA.
Oh. I could take the sports. It's the Fellowship of Christian Athletes that would really drive
me. That's where I draw the line, son.
God damn it, Dad! Literally, God damn it!
Yeah, Jackson's definitely going to rebel in a way you never saw coming.
I can't wait. I'm going to have to. Because
I hope it happens this year. What if it just starts this year?
Oh, it's easy. That's easy. I'll just make sure I have to work late a lot and not be around the house. I did the air quotes, guys. Work late.
Oh, I think your tone said it all.
Work late. That was a quotation tone.
Yeah, that was definitely air quotes tone.
You quote toned it.
Yeah, air quotes tone is definitely a thing.
Tone quoted it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that chick said that Brian was sexy.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I could totally see that.
When she rolled her eyes, she said he was sexy.
I was trying to think of what song Tone Quote would have released.
Tone Quote would have released Wild Fang.
Yeah, I was trying to think.
Funky Cold Messina. No, Funky Cold.
There we go.
Wild Thing.
Right.
So, the Citadel. It's going to be hard for me not to say the Citadel.
I want to say the Citadel.
Agreed.
So,
Citadel, a Scottish pick.
Scotch.
A delicious drink and a delicious people's. Tyler, Scotch is a alcohol.
Oh, is that okay? That's
you don't imbibe anymore, but Drew and I.
And
has that been did people invent that in the last 2 years or so, like 2.5 years?
It's become popular. That and bourbon has become more popular in the last 2 years.
Like Fireball.
Mm-hmm.
I missed the boat on that. I feel like I'm Amish whenever I go to a restaurant with beer and people are like, I'm going to get this. I'm like, I've never heard of that. What is that?
Like you've just been out of it 2 years and so much has happened.
I know.
In the beer world, definitely. I mean, craft beer is blown up.
I know that Fireball, and I know now that Fireball is a predominantly something that's consumed by the fairer sex because of its, really, it's got a really good taste. But it is fucking delicious.
It's tasty. It's like a Red Hot.
It is.
Like an
someone
atomic
said
Fireball.
A buddy of mine who has a gluten allergy. I can only drink pussy ciders because there's no gluten. Someone told him that if you mix Fireball with a cider, it's like drinking a cinnamon apples. And he's like, that sounds great. I was like, it sounds horrible. Like, it sounds like the worst hangover ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. And Tyler and Drew have experienced my hangovers, so.
And my drunks.
Hangers and hangovers and drunks.
Have I seen you at your worst? Pretty close.
Yes.
You and I were both at our worsts in those moments.
It's definitely in my top 10.
That was. That's the night that we watched The Big Lebowski and drank White
bowled,
Russians.
Really?
We bowled.
That feels like days before. That night had to have been one of my lowest moments.
And
like,
I had
top
to go to
five
work.
Lowest moments.
I had to go to work the next morning.
And the fact that you went to work and I helped a guy move his grandmother out of her house.
And Drew slept.
I drank.
I wasn't even hungover.
That's right. You weren't.
I drank so much that I forgot that the next day I'd help someone move. So when the phone call came at 7:30, I thought it was an alarm, and I immediately realized the mistake I had made. Because I got in the truck and this guy was like, Jesus, what did you drink last night?
The pool. I drank the pool.
Yeah.
I drank all the pool. Yeah, that was a rough one. Anyway, Citadel.
Yeah. A Scottish movie. What is the director's last name? I know that the first
Kieran
name is
Foy.
Kieran Foy.
Oh, that's a total Scots name if I've ever heard one.
Wasn't James Kieran Foy in that movie where the bullets went wanted? Wasn't that James Kieran Foy?
I don't know.
It's not.
James McAvoy, right?
James McAvoy.
Oh, got it. Yeah, right.
Who's James Purifoy?
That's Following. That's, what's his name? The bad guy on The Following.
I don't know. I don't follow that.
He's been in other stuff, too, but that's his biggest thing now.
God damn it, Brian. I hate you.
See Solomon Kane, too, in the Solomon Kane movie, I think.
All right, so the movie that... All right, so Citadel. What
Citadel,
did you?
Yes.
Let's talk about our general feelings about it before we get into it. Brian, what'd you think?
I would say that, you know, like with most stuff, I'm never really that disappointed with anything we watch.
Right.
Everything that we seem to watch, whether it's because Drew picked it for a certain reason or just because of what's out right now, nothing is really... I mean, I have been like pissed at stuff because of how stupid it's been, but I've never really been disappointed and
right.
not entertained. This isn't a bad movie.
No.
No, it's not. And I'm imagining the most expensive thing on this movie was the priest who's been in every Scottish movie ever.
James Cosmo.
Right. Every Scottish thing ever made.
Which is like five things. That's not saying, I mean, this isn't
the
Tyler Perry movies. Like, it's not like one comes every 4 months.
You may not recognize him as the priest in Sons of Anarchy.
He's the priest in
the priest
Braveheart.
In.
Yeah. You may recognize him as the priest.
I almost want to see him do the guy from The Simpsons who does who's the guy that got shot?
Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman. His, hi, I'm James, what's his, James Cosmo?
James Cosmo.
I'm James Cosmo. You may know me as the priest from such and such, or the priest from this, or the priest from that, or a really angry Scotsman in Braveheart.
Yeah.
And Highlander. And
yes.
Everything. Trainspotting.
Was he in Trainspotting?
Yes, he was in Trainspotting.
Was he?
Yes.
What was he in Trainspotting?
I don't know, but he was.
What or who?
He was a what?
Probably.
He's speaking like an English and what?
So I thought it was an enjoyable film. It was definitely a different. Drew will bat me up on this, because actually he'll bat me up.
He's Mr. Renton. He was Renton's dad.
Oh,
I'd say.
Drew will bat me up on this, considering he said it. I'm just going to say what he said was that the cover to this film looks very much like it's just a zombie movie.
Yeah, no.
Maybe Tyler said that. I think that was you that said that.
No, Drew said it. But yeah, it definitely looks like a generic zombie movie. It looks like a zombie movie, but it's
like
not
the,
at all.
Because everything is a zombie movie nowadays.
It looks like zombie
the
meets The Raid.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zombie Raid.
Zombie Raid.
But it's not that at all. It's more of a, like, drama about psychological issues.
The first two acts, at least, definitely are.
It's very slow.
It's billed as a person with
agoraphobia. Except they say agoraphobia a couple of times.
I'm afraid of farm equipment.
That's probably just... pronunciation of the airport, I guess, you know, it's like
maybe
like how they say aluminium.
Yeah, aluminium. And, yeah.
But the
there's not an extra.
He's
eye
the
there.
Worst agoraphobic. People who are agoraphobic would be so disappointed in this guy. It's like, you go outside. How agoraphobic are you?
I wonder if there are levels of agoraphobe as there are levels of vegetarians.
I mean, there's assholes in every group, so you know there are.
There are purists like, you know, like the vegans are like, oh, you eat fish, huh? They can still feel pain, asshole.
Yeah.
Like the really hardcore agoraphobics would be like, he's a total outdoorsian. Or like they'd come up with some name, like some other name for them.
Well, you can leave your bedroom.
On a scale of John Krakauer to... Sigourney Weaver and Copycat. You are right in the middle.
Yeah.
You're a normal.
You're no Sigourney Weaver, sir. You're a total Chris McCandless, you asshole.
Right. I was trying to think of who else was an outdoorsman that I could... Bear Grylls. I guess that would be the next person.
You know what's funny is I...
Grizzly Man.
I only associate with Bear Grylls the time where he got... They did like a shipwrecked episode, and he... stuck a tube in his asshole and put water in it so he could absorb the water, and they filmed that and put that on television, and that's what I think of when I think of Bear Grylls.
Was it salt water?
I don't know. I think so. Because he was afraid of swallowing the water because he would jerk it back up and he needed it, so he was going to absorb it into his ass or something. Or maybe he was constipated. I don't know. But either way, he stuck a tube in his asshole on TV.
I think they're just winging it. That's not really it.
Well, he lived... There was a big controversy when he did his show because he stayed at a hotel.
Yeah, that's all. That's what I remember. Yeah.
He's not like Survivor Man. Okay. Survivor Man was for real.
Didn't they do a Survivor Man versus Bear Grylls like challenge?
I hope so, because Survivor Man is such a badass compared to Bear Grylls.
That name's good, though.
It is a good name.
Not a real name. His real
Shocker.
Name is Leslie Moonves.
Oh, so he's also the head of CBS?
Yep,
oh,
NBC.
Right. Okay. Okay, I guess that makes sense.
So in Citadel, our main character, Tommy.
Tommy, can you hear me?
And it really didn't come together for me until the end when Drew just said what was actually going on. So I'll go ahead and spoil it so that it will make sense as we watch it, because otherwise it's kind of like incomprehensible to me for some reason. But he and his girlfriend, who is pregnant, are moving out of an apartment building, which we just think they're leaving. But they're actually moving out because it's being shut down. It's being shuttered.
Yeah.
And on the way out, I really like the way the scene plays out in the elevator. They go down an elevator or go up an elevator.
He goes down to take some stuff out and then comes back up.
And she's there and she gets attacked. Elevator won't open. And he finds her with a needle sticking out of her pregnant belly.
Yeah.
And so she's like infected with...
something.
The Last of Us disease.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we could vary... What was that disease called?
Did they call it anything?
I don't think they... I think it...
God damn, I want to play that game again.
The new flu. I mean, they always call it something. Yeah. So like
Clicker disease?
Captain Trips.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely Captain Trips. I want to play that game again.
Captain Jack?
So, as a result...
There was a Captain Jack in Panama City, and every time I passed it...
Did he get you high?
No, but every time I passed it, I wanted to take a picture and send it to Drew, and then I was like, well, why? It's Captain Jack. Why would he find that interesting? I was having that internal conversation. Like, why would he find that funny? Except that, oh, look, there's a restaurant named Captain Jack on the beach. Why wouldn't there be a Captain Jack's restaurant?
It's true. I think I knew of it.
One of my problems with the movie was that even though I understand, like, I get, because it's a movie, I get that he would get agoraphobia because he went through a trauma. Like, it doesn't have to be directly related. But we also don't get, like, I know that sometimes the scenes are bullshit when they talk to a doctor about why they have agoraphobia, but I feel like there needed to be more of a connection made in the movie, like a direct connection made for me. I don't know, like something felt off or distant. Like I always felt at arm's length in this movie.
Maybe they shouldn't have used the term agoraphobia is the problem. Is that we have a very, we all have an understanding of what agoraphobia is. Agoraphobia is, and basically mine is... my idea of what it is based on Copycat, the movie.
That's when I learned it was a thing.
And I thought, man, that's a pretty fucking sweet deal. We had to, oh, I can't leave the house. I got all sorts of sicknesses. But he's just traumatized from watching his wife get murdered. And he doesn't want to leave the house. I mean, is that agoraphobia or is that just trauma?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it just, I don't know. I think one of my problems, too, is that it felt like something that was added to the movie, but not something that the character was connected to. Like, who is this character? Like, what are his personality aspects other than the fact that he is agoraphobic? Like, other than the fact that he doesn't like to be outside of his house, what other aspects of his personality are extant that we see?
I don't... I mean, he...
What is his personality at all? He's agoraphobic. Like, that's the problem with this, is that it feels like they, like, this is a movie about agoraphobia, kind of, and like not the like the character has no bearing on
this movie. Did for agoraphobia what Rain Man did for autism?
Wrong.
That's a false statement.
I
don't know. He just seemed like a guy who was upset that his wife, and rightly so, his wife was murdered.
Right.
Or not. Well, we find out she wasn't murdered right away. She hung around for eight months.
She was attacked, and he lost her and gained this child. I really liked his character. I thought he was one of the more sympathetic characters I've seen in most movies recently. I felt the entire time I was trying to figure out, like, I mean, the entire situation he's in was horrific. And, not in that horror movie kind of way, just in thinking about, oh my God, you're left with this kid and you've been traumatized with this thing where you can't even handle it in the way that someone needs to. You can't raise the kid like you need to. And then he's having to fight, apparently, social services to not lose his kid. And I thought that was the one thing I put onto it, at least. The movie doesn't tell us that, but what I read into his character was that the other thing we know about him is, yes, he has this agoraphobia, but he's also determined to try and combat it so he can raise that kid and keep the kid. Because, I mean, he does fight to go out to therapy, and he does, and he does force himself to ride this bus and go, to social services to make his, to make his plea or do whatever he has to do to let them keep his daughter, Elsa. And those are the two main things that I saw. And that leads into all we really need to know about him to some degree, at least, because, I mean, we need to know that he's afraid to go outside, and then he has to, and then we also need to know he's a dad, and so when he loses a kid, it's why he actually, makes the ultimate decision he had, which is going back into the citadel mm-hmm. of the movie to attack the feral children.
I think that's fair enough, but I still felt at arm's length with this character. Like, I never felt as though he had his own personality. Like, these felt like just character traits applied to this guy because he's in that situation. And so I never bought into it.
Drew making the comment, feral children, also brings up another point in that that's misleading too. These children aren't feral. I mean, they're fucking possessed by something.
Yeah.
They're infected.
They're infected with something. Feral just implies that they didn't have parents and they've run amok.
But that's what most of them are as well, though, because they've been taken from their parents and raised.
I guess.
They've been raised by other infected parentless children, apparently.
And that's another question I have is, do they grow up after being infected? Because it seemed like they had just a farm of undead babies, not like people who are going to grow.
Well, I imagine it's almost Children of the Corn-esque. I imagine once you get to some point, they don't, I mean, we don't see any adults with them. So, I mean, I don't know. Well, I don't know if we've gotten far enough away from, I don't know how old the original kids were who started it, that any of them have grown up. But then my idea, what I thought, and again, what I put onto it and what I read into it was they don't enjoy the adult persuasion. And so they off them, I would imagine, if anyone gets to that point.
Well, and two, we don't know how long this is happening.
And probably eat them.
How long this has been happening, because we only have a slice, six to eight month slice of life. We don't know where these kids came from.
Well, they obviously existed before they moved out.
Right, but where do they start from there? So,
well, we know where they started. We don't know when they started.
Right.
They started with the twins that the priest. The priest had left with the lady.
Yeah.
Which led me to wonder at one point, because the priest talks about getting infected himself. That did make me wonder if he started the infection as well, if the infection was from him into those kids, and then that way, or if he was infected doing as he said when he was saving Danny.
With the Holy Ghost.
I thought the priest was by far the most alive character in this movie.
Yes.
Like the most well thought out and sort of well fleshed out character. He seemed to have a philosophy and a point of view that no one else in the movie had. Everyone else just seemed to be reacting to things to me. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like, I liked it. I thought the movie was good, but there's sometimes with just what we watch, I guess, there's something missing for me, and I can't figure out what it is. But I do think it's that I just don't really, I mean, I do think the guy's in a horrible, shitty situation. I think he fights for, I mean, he is a valiant character. I just don't think he's fully realized. Like, he's sort of...
Well, you know what is fully realized? And it's something that every film about Scotland has taught me, is that Scotland is a shithole.
Yes, a giant, bleak shithole. They're not trying to get tourism into Scotland with this movie.
Right, I mean...
No.
Loch Ness
Doomsday
is their only...
Doomsday did better for tourism there. That was the weird medieval times with... Malcolm McDowell.
Right.
Have you seen the Apple Map? You see the story about the Apple Maps thing with Loch Ness?
Uh-huh.
Have you seen it?
I saw something last week about it, but I never
looked into it. Yeah, it was just a picture on Apple Maps that looks like a sea creature.
Yeah. Right. I did see it, and I just kept thinking, I was like,
isn't that what led us to believe there's Nessie anyway? Is because of some pictures weird people picture. Have taken
yeah.
that
and I thought
like
the same thing too.
Creatures.
I was like, well, how hard would that be to fake?
It's just the new Nessie picture.
Yeah, but it looked a lot more like a whale than it did anything else. So.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I don't. I mean, I'm not a cryptozoologist. What?
I love
a cryptozoologist. Yeah. A cryptozoologist.
I love that shit as a kid, the Sasquatch.
Oh man, I
mean, I love it.
Oh my gosh,
I bought into those so heavy too.
Yeah.
It was just. Yeah.
I wanted to go.
I love
I
them,
to go
but
really
I don't believe
bad.
In them.
I want it to be true. Yeah. Yeti, the Abominable Snowman, Loch Ness Monster, Sasquatch, all that shit. I was like, God, I hope this is. Yeah.
I like this. Pretty much, you just named two things, just with all the different names.
Nessie, Sasquatch, the Yeti.
I don't know.
Sea monsters.
Mothman.
But that was the thing. Like when I was
Time Life books.
When I was a kid, it was.
What? I'm imagining a Time Life book.
Don't
like
you remember
lumbering
the Time
through the woods?
Mysteries of the Unexplained or something like that?
Well, it was a commercial. Do you remember the commercials? Yeah. It had the music and then it was like, mysteries.
The Nostradamus character.
It was like unsolved mysteries kind of creepy music kind of deal. I just remember when I was a kid, like, it's pretty much, it was Nessie and the Abominable Snowman. / Yeti / Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm. Mystery of the unknown.
And that was pretty much it. Oh, and UFOs, which I never
UFOs,
really cared that much
yeah.
for.
Stonehenge.
Crop circles.
Stonehenge.
I think Stonehenge was one of the books in the Time Life book series.
Probably, yeah. But UFOs never got me. I just was like, eh. I just never, you know, I was like, well.
You know, someone made a good point about that. It's like, with everyone having cameras on their phone now,
right.
do you realize how few sightings there are of things now?
Right.
In that sense of the... We should be able to videotape all of this.
Like miracles.
That hasn't hurt hasn't hurt ghost hunters who apparently film everything but ghosts and put it on TV.
I have a buddy.
Do you realize how low the bar is set for a ghost now? Like 500 years ago, a fucking ghost would walk in and talk to you for an hour. Now it's an electromagnetic spectrum issue.
That door, that was shut when we left.
I have a buddy that is
and now it's
convinced he has a picture of a ghost. It's like some weird black spot.
Hey, here it is, guys. Oh, it's coming up.
How would you explain it? A woman in Wisconsin is possessed by a terrifying feeling that her daughter has just been in an accident. She makes a desperate phone call and learns her feeling was true. And how can people around the world describe a being from space and have their descriptions match almost exactly? Maybe no one can fully explain these things, but they can no longer be ignored. That's why Time Life presents this new series, Mysteries of the Unknown.
That's why.
A serious look at what may lie beyond ordinary
serious.
Reality. How would you explain this? Four men enter a shadowy ring of trees. One is grabbed by an unseen force and held suspended in the air.
Isn't that fire in the sky?
Yes.
Remarkable than we ever imagined. Examine your first volume and see if you can explain these things away.
To order mystic places, call 1-800-367.
I love the chat. I love the challenger. Explain this, motherfucker.
That is beautiful. God, that's what takes me back.
I know. I remember seeing that commercial literally dozens of times.
That and Dianetics.
Oh, I remember the Dianetics commercial, yes.
With the volcano.
Yes.
Never realized that was a religion.
No,
I bought the book.
I thought it was like a self-help book. Like,
I used to always see it at the grocery store.
Okay, so listeners, books are these things that are bound in glue and paper, and people used to even actually advertise them on television.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, the Stephen King Book Club as well, if you're talking about books on TV.
So, yeah.
Oh, right.
I mean, the fun is wanting to believe in this stuff, but yeah, the bar now is so fucking low. That's like miracles and shit. Like when people talk about seeing a miracle, like, oh, I found a Jesus baby on a piece of toast. Like, it's not. I mean, no one has talked to a burning bush in 3,000 years.
Or how about
no one talked to a burning bush?
Are they?
Also, like the miracles that get you sainthood now, I think I could do those miracles. I think I could be a saint. Like Mother Teresa,
one of the miracles is the avoidance of raping children, which most of us get through our life without doing anyway.
She never raped a child.
Well, right. Well, exactly.
That's a miracle?
For the Catholic Church, yes.
That's why the bar is so low. Yeah. It's just...
I just remember she was exercised on her deathbed, but I always remember.
No. She hated going to the gym.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Especially on her deathbed.
And she's like, oh, fuck you.
Cycling.
That was when we...
She hated lunges.
Speaking of religious people saying, fuck you, that was when we got the first clue that this priest in this movie was unorthodox. When he, yeah. at the funeral, was like, fuck yourself and go home.
The priest who also kept a young boy with him the entire time. A young blind boy.
I think we all knew what was going on. It was the unspoken agreement. We're like, oh, he's raping this kid.
Okay.
He's blind. He can't see how wrong it
you
is.
You made a reference to another horror movie with an unorthodox priest.
Dead Alive.
That's right.
I kick ass for the Lord.
Oh, yeah. James Cosmos would totally have to play that priest in any kind of remake of Dead Alive.
Yeah. Which that would work.
Which should never happen.
I hope it never happens, but...
There's no point.
It was so I went to the upcoming horror movies.
That would be cause for divine intervention.
The upcoming horror movie website, and you know you can sort by remakes or prequels. And it was just so like the stuff, everything is being remade. And I was like, luckily, Dead Alive is not being remade, but it's like they really don't wait that long to start rebooting stuff or remaking stuff. But
did you guys read the blog post from James Gunn where he talked about remakes? And told people to just basically shut up about remakes.
Yep.
That remakes have been happening. This isn't recent.
Certainly. Oh, sure.
Remakes have been happening since movies began. Like, since we've had movies, we've had remakes and reboots. I mean, you could argue that Hollywood was even more commercially bankrupt in the 1930s when they were just like, oh, here's a movie with Boris Karloff where he has a weird accent, and here's another one where he wears a mask and has a weird accent. Isn't this spooky? Let's be afraid of weirdly European-sounding people. Because if you look at the careers...
They're frightening,
like,
though.
They are.
Welcome to my lair.
Oh, someone...
See,
I can't go to sleep
right.
tonight.
I guess it's right.
Well,
I never drink a wine.
So, like, yeah, Bela Lugosi made an entire career out of one movie.
Yep.
Like, everything he was in was basically that movie, but another, like, just another, oh, here's the thing, Bela Lugosi. He's weird.
You know what,
awesome.
Tyler, you're right. I've changed my mind completely in this last 2 minutes.
Shut the fuck up.
No, he has a point, though. It's a valid point, is that...
Oh, I like that it's not... I don't have a...
No, you don't.
I'm just voicing James Gunn.
Yes.
Opinion. That's all I'm good for.
But everything's... I mean, sure. Even when you found out that Star Wars was based on Joseph Campbell's A Hero with a Thousand Faces and George Lucas studied that, you're kind of like, well, I guess everything is...
Hidden Fortress.
Well, yes, and Hidden Fortress.
Whatever, Joseph Campbell took that to the bank. I mean, Joseph Campbell just started using that to sell his own stuff at that point.
Yeah,
so.
And they looked at him real weird. He was like, I want $1 million for this idea. And they're like, we don't pay directly for ideas. You actually can't just take it to the bank. You'll have to write a book or something. He's like, a book? No one's done that before. So, yeah.
I remember watching...
Dead Alive is one of those movies, though, that is almost unremakable.
That's brain dead for some of you viewers who aren't from America.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. But going back to The Hidden Fortress...
After
watching The Hidden Fortress and realizing how much... R2-D2 and C-3PO were based on the bumbling older guys.
Right,
and I was like, God almighty, it is R2-D2 and C-3PO.
I mean, that one guy actually just beeps the entire time.
Yes, and I was like, geez, that's kind of weird. I mean, I know this movie is subtitled, but even he was just like... That's my angry
That's not
R2-D2.
Bad. But as far as getting into the first two acts of the movie, I mean, it's more or less a drama. There are very few aspects of it that are truly horrific that would even be considered horror. It's more of sort of the looming sort of madness of this father. And they step towards something kind of interesting that they didn't pursue. They almost immediately stepped back from it, which was the scene where he thinks they're attacking the house. And
right.
It turns out that it's the nurse, instead. When she comes upon him, he's in the bathroom with a hammer and his baby. I thought that would be an interesting turn, that not only would he be afraid of these things, but also the real genuine fear that his baby would be taken away because they think he's just completely insane.
Yeah, but that was the nurse who had the hots for him who found him. So
exactly.
Okay.
And then it just went to, like, slow jams the scene. And I don't know. I found that less interesting because then she kind of just becomes a plot point of... She talks to him for
longer.
No, it's weird, isn't it? Like, they have one moment where they kiss, and then she's dead.
That's a fantastic. I love that because not expecting that, even knowing what those kids were, you're like, oh, this is gonna be fine. And she's like, I'll prove that I'm right. Oh, I'm right. She's
when
dead.
They walk in the tunnel, the irreversible tunnel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The I mean, and he does get his kid taken from him. Much to,
not by the authority.
Much to his chagrin, yeah. But and that was
I didn't see him smiling at all,
and that was a violent like abduction too. I was like, God Almighty, they're gonna break this baby,
yeah.
This baby in half.
What's that baby do?
Not a real baby. At
oh,
that point.
Hang on, guys, we completely forgot to say when he broke the baby in half,
this, right?
Because it's in Scotland, so it's the baby. Don't take my baby. when he said that, he's like, "Oi, boys, don't take my baby." She's all I got in the world.
No, sir.
Well, you know, Scotland, England, it's all the same. It's the same continent.
I want to go with you. I know you do, William.
William.
I love you. Always have.
Yeah. Man, we only know stereotypes about
We only know quotes from Braveheart is all I know.
Or in Trainspotting.
Yeah, I really only know what I've seen in movies.
Well, let me rephrase that. I only know one from Trainspotting, and that's, can you guess it? What's on the menu this evening, sir?
Hmm? Yeah. I wonder if Scotland is just a wonderfully beautiful place that we've only just seen the inner city slums.
Oh, it's gorgeous. The Highlands? Oh, yeah. It's gorgeous.
I don't know.
No, I've seen pictures of the gorgeous parts, though.
Where? Where can you see pictures of other places?
Time Life Books.
Okay.
Yep. Time Life.
And you can order your very own Scotland is Beautiful book, 1-800-367. No CODs. Do you remember, like,
yeah, no CODs.
I always thought that was such a weird. Okay.
Scotland, it's not a shithole.
You can order Time Life videos.
If you order now, you'll get Wales. It actually exists.
It's a real place.
Wales, we don't understand what they're saying either.
Wales, not just sea mammals.
Hey, speaking of which, the guy who played Tommy, he was Welsh.
Was he?
Oh, was he?
Oh, man.
I thought it was Oscar Isaacs or an Oscar Isaac.
Elijah Wood.
Yeah. It kind of looks like that. But, I mean, he was a good actor. I thought he was good in this movie. I just don't know that the character had much to draw from.
Well, no, I think that funded by Scotland.
Yard.
Well, it's funded by the Scottish government, so it's given money by like the Scotland's arts.
Right. Most of those things that come out of if you watch any most of those British features, they do as well.
They don't want people coming to Scotland, is what you're saying.
They're trying to like stay the fuck away.
Fuck.
So they are essentially. I mean, it's independent cinema.
They are what?
It's not
essentially.
Essentially.
Existentially.
Existentially. Existentially and essentially independent cinema. With independent films, you have to have a good bunch of actors. It's like when we watched Signal. Mm-hmm. Is that you have to have strong actors, and these are strong. They're strong actors. They're not phoning it in.
No. And like two of them could lift one of those cars. It was crazy.
James Cosmo could lift it by himself.
Yeah. Well, they drive minis. So
another thing I think really does not benefit this movie is that it seems like it ramps up too late. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually liked the movie. I just don't know. There's just something I don't like.
I think we should have had more.
I'm hating on this more than I.
Well,
like,
no, but
it's
I think
a good
we,
movie.
It is,
it's,
but
it,
I think
it is
we could
a
have
movie.
Had some more killing. And so if we'd have had some more killing and understanding what these kids were after earlier, it may have made his child that much more of a focus, like why he has
to
hang on to
this. Well, he doesn't seem to like try to figure out anything. I don't know. Like,
well, he's agoraphobic.
I have a completely different thing. I think it goes in a completely wrong direction, especially for where it sets itself up. I mean, I think where you need to go as far as it's set up perfectly for a
dead alive.
No, but you've got this agoraphobe, and so he's in his house, and he has these weird, like almost like strangers like moments of these kids coming to his house and trying to break in and these things. So you have a perfect setup for some sort of
straw dogs.
Kind of some sort of almost, you know,
showdown.
The John Carpenter-esque, the old Western-esque thing where this one guy, and it's called Citadel, and so his house could become his citadel.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
And he sets his house up to protect himself and his baby, you know.
Baby.
And you could still bring in the other characters. Maybe the priest comes around because he, you know, after the funeral, he knows
concerned
something's
about
up,
him,
and
right?
That, and the nurse, the same thing, and they're trapped in there, and they're all trapped in this house trying to keep these you know, feral kids out, and you have almost like this, you know, this, like I said, strangers-esque type, you know, scenario, almost, you know, straw dogs-esque as well.
Drew, there's you're hired.
I think that would have been a stronger third act, because where I lost it was the third act. I liked the first two acts a lot. I see the setup. This guy, Kieran Foy, has been hired to do Sinister 2. And I see why, because, I mean, in the early scenes, you get all those weird shots, like in the weird reflection shots of the kids and all these things of, like, the shot of him as he's freaking out are very much like, you can see the origins of some sort of sinister-esque ghost story where there's some parent who's losing their mind and they're seeing all these things trying to get at them kind of deal. And that, all that set up in the first two acts, and that last act, it did devolve into some sort of, oh, now it's a zombie movie in an apartment complex.
You guys, listeners, you will notice that this is released right around the time Sinister 2 is coming out, just for reference.
Well, that was that was our reason for watching it, was Kieran Foy. When we have recorded this, who knows when you'll hear this, but when you do, realize we watched it when he was first pretty much, you know, picked up. He was first tabbed
this
for
movie,
Sinister
2. 2 is coming out, and we saw the trailer, and it looks like a horror movie of some kind that's going to be released in theaters.
And we saw one.
Yeah. I really like the first Sinister
Scott
movie.
Scott Derrickson's awesome.
I think the first Sinister is one of my favorite horror movies of the last 5 years.
It's
horrifying.
It's got so much that works really well, and a couple things where I'm like, I wish they'd gone another direction. But those...
It reminds me of like a really great 90s horror book. Yeah. Like, it feels like the new guy moving to town who has a horrible, like, there's a horrible secret around. Like, I love those kinds of things. Like, those are awesome.
Those films?
Those are disturbing.
That's the most frightening thing I've seen in several years. Those things were fantastic.
Well, because they were unflinching in a way that most movies are. Like, most horror movies that go to an extreme level, it's kind of like picking a booger in front of somebody. It's like, nobody wants to see that, so they want to turn away. But this was horrifying in, like, a really unflinching, you're going to watch this kind of way, not like, oh, we're going to pull your toenails off.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, when people...
You needed the scotch that Ethan Hawke's character was drinking to watch them each night, you know, as you're freaking out more
and more
watching them.
And I watched that movie in the middle of the night, which made it more...
By yourself in the dark?
Yes.
I think that's when I saw it, too. It's just unavoidable. It just came on HBO.
A theater.
In the middle of the night.
No, just a theater.
Did you wake up in the theater
in
the middle of the night?
In a world.
No.
In a theater. In a world.
So, yeah, I agree with you. I actually think the sort of assault on Precinct 13... The assault on Precinct 13 would have been really good.
I thought we were all just latching on immediately to someone's misspeaking, so...
Yeah, we are.
I was making sure.
That's our podcast.
All right.
Our podcast.
For a minute and tell you, Tyler's on a kind of like a... mic stand here. I so badly wanted to, when you were talking, grab this and just yank it to make it hit you in the face. It was like one of those impulse things that I had to put down. I was like,
I'm glad you didn't.
Brian, you're a human being. Don't do that to someone else. All right. Anyway.
Especially when no one's done it to you and you've been on this for the entire series of the...
Well, that's what would have been funny. It's like a year of it. Here comes. Pow.
In the kisser.
One of the problems I saw was that I compared this movie as we were watching. I compared it to sort of slower 70s horror movies. Right. And it has that feeling because horror movies in the 70s were very character-driven. Like, and even early 80s, like it kind of reminded me of The Dead Zone or like a really small 70s horror movie like The Changeling or something, which
I guess
was 1980.
Polanski, something like Repulsion or The Tenant or
something. And so I think my problem is not necessarily with the characters, but how they interact. So maybe the main character is not a bad character, but... Like, in The Exorcist, they sit down and have conversations about what they think is going on. And here, it's just kind of like, I'm not going to tell you, or figure it out. Or, like, it's too shrouded in mystery for no reason.
Right.
Like, there's too much in this movie where someone could say something and just chooses not to so that it will be revealed later. Like, we don't learn really what's going on until they're running up the stairs in the Citadel. And that's problematic, I think. Like... This as cool as the priest is, he's an asshole for waiting that long to say stuff. Like, he could have been like, this kid's blind. Well, they can't see you.
He only did it because he's like, I don't want to take this to my grave.
Yeah.
I'm about to die and no one is going to know, so I better tell you what happened.
I think the problem was he wanted to keep it a mystery.
Thanks, RJD.
Welcome. You're welcome.
I mean, that's the thing, and that's where I liked the first two acts a lot more. Like, I liked where it was a more frightening idea. I like the purpose-driven...
Life. Rick Warren. Boom.
I like the purpose-driven feral children who were coming after his child. Like they like they had some claim on her, or
there
at least
should have been more of
it. And that's what, because that's what I liked. I would have liked more of that and less of what we get towards the end. Like I liked that idea.
I also don't feel like we got enough of a philosophical reason for when they were doing it. Like there is no terror because we don't get a sense of when they're going to come. It's just like random. It's like, oh, you're home. I guess I'll come now. I'm gonna knock on the door a little bit and then leave. Like, why didn't they just get the baby the first time? Like, why fuck around?
No, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
I like the way Drew pronounces, I pronounce it feral. He says feral.
Feral.
It sounds like they're a strong, wild, it's like viral and feral combined. It's a strong, wild child.
Yeah.
And yours sounds like.
I'm fine with it.
No, I know. I'm not.
Insulted.
Mine sounds like.
Drew, insult him. Give him an insult.
I wasn't meant to be an insult.
Come on, let's do a UFC of words.
Well, yours
insult
is
him.
Feral. So yours is, they're fair and kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Or children of the comedian Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of wild.
Yeah, he
Am
is.
I right?
He's kind of feral. Or, that was not a high five.
Or Colin Farrell.
That's not as interesting.
Mm-mm.
But it does fit into the Ireland, Scotland.
It does.
Thing. I think they both. I think it was just, you know, had a co-production. I think from some of the things I saw.
Did
monetarily,
it?
Okay. It was filmed in Scotland, but I think there was some Irish money in there too.
Mm. I'm sure the IRA maybe.
Yeah, funnel it. Got to funnel it somewhere.
Talk about someone I would never hire. The Irish. Come on, guy. Am I right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Where is this going?
I don't know. It's. I'm just
an old
making
stereotype.
Early was it?
An early teens.
The early teens joke.
The Irish.
I don't like immigrants, is what Ryan's saying. So but when he says that, he doesn't mean, you know, modern immigrants. He means someone from parts of Europe.
Right.
Like Southern Europe. You didn't like that.
Italy and Spain can suck it.
Yeah. But as the movie progresses, they steal the baby, and he has to convince the... It moves into the third act fairly quickly after that. Once the baby goes, then they go. I didn't understand what they were doing with the building. Like, he wants his baby back.
Right.
But they spend so much time setting up to blow up the building first.
Because that's what the priest wants, and the priest won't give him what he wants until he helps him blow up the building. Though, why the priest never could just do this on his own, I didn't quite get. If he was so troubled by it.
That's true. At any time.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't see Danny. He could have just let Danny go.
No, they could see Danny. Danny was, that we get that reveal, Danny was never
it was
magic
the priest.
Or anything like that. Well, I still don't understand what it was. I assume, was all of a sudden the priest started coughing and then they could see them.
Also.
And he said claimed it was not Danny. He said it wasn't Danny. The priest
also convenient plot device there too. Because he starts coughing not in the building but in the car on the way over there.
Right.
So, like, why even include that? Who gives a shit at that point? Like, if he's going to die, why give him the coughing blood nonsense anyway?
Well, that's what I kind of like, though. If I follow the thread of logic that I had built up earlier, which I felt kind of fell apart.
He's dying already?
Well, no. Is that the whole thing is they can smell fear or whatever. And I think that's even, like, the tagline or something. Something about they sense fear. And so...
They're just kind of... But, like, what is... I mean...
Every child senses fear. They sense weakness. My kid knows immediately when I'm bullshitting.
No, they see your fear. And so what I think there, what I like is, so he's coughing early, that's fine, but when he calls it the blood, he's then maybe afraid of dying, and so they actually can see his fear then. That was the one. That was what the only thing I could come up with,
because
I was
also,
trying to come up with a reason.
But that's
that
also very like convenient as well. Like, I mean, because he doesn't start coughing halfway through the movie. He starts coughing as they're driving up to the building. Like, oh, shit, we forgot we needed a thing for him to do.
I'm dying.
Well, he had shown us the infection earlier.
Yes.
But
he didn't cough.
I don't know how long he's got it either.
Yeah.
That's still the thing. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just...
I mean, it's a complaint. I always haven't been anything. I mean, why when we're watching I Am Legend do we finally see when it all falls a fucking part?
But this is a lot different because, I mean, like... This movie, it just does it in the third act just because. And it has no bearing on the rest of anything. Like, it really doesn't. We don't get a big fight. Like, there isn't really a fight. I mean, he just kind of goes into a room and then they attack and kill him, which is fine because this is his way of saving or, like, his redemption because then they can get away. But, like, there isn't anything, like, there's no fight back. There's just sort of, like, we're going to walk out of this building and we're not going to be afraid. And that's a fine moral victory, but it just felt kind of flat to me. I don't know.
No, that's fine. I mean, that's fair. I mean, I think I liked, overall, I liked it, you know, more, it seems. But I still like the first two acts even better than the last act, too.
Yeah,
like,
I
wish
liked
it had gone
it.
Somewhere
just,
else.
I was kind of bored, but not really bored.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine, Brian. It's fine, Brian.
Fine. It's fine.
It's a fine. It's fine.
It's a fine movie. It's a fine movie.
I think it, just with a few tweaks, it could have been a great movie.
I think Drew has it. I think I liked Drew's idea of it, making it, putting it into one.
What, bro? This isn't a game. No, what?
No, but his how he would have changed it being, because he's agoraphobic, everyone winding up at his house, stuck in his house, trying to defend themselves against what was happening.
Yeah, because then
the baby getting the baby being stolen, then
no,
and then them having to travel somewhere would have kind of
made
no. It a little,
I think it would have been like the fight in the house, but like and like the house starts to fall apart or something, and he has to leave the house, and like that's
well,
that
the
is
house
the,
was
getting
falling
over.
Apart. Have you seen Scotland?
So, but that be the sort of ultimate moment of the movie is that he leaves without fear. He leaves because he has to. And I guess he's been doing that in the entire movie. Like, he leaves because he has to.
So, but if he'd have been stuck in that house the whole time, the nurse come by, the priest come by to check on him, and then the final battle is where he has to leave the house to go confront these children who stole his child. I'm extrapolating on what Drew had said, really, but
it's fine. We don't need footnotes. It's okay.
That being the kind of the final scene of him going out of the house finally to get his child back.
So that would be the final scene? So we don't even know if he gets the child back?
I meant the battle to get the child back.
Asking,
Well, I think, I mean, which still...
I think it had been like... No, I think you should have been like...
But no, what I'm saying is...
The kid turned around crying. You just seen all the other kids with their blue eyes and crazy shit. And then he goes to touch his daughter and he's like, is she okay? I don't know.
And then
I don't know.
And then the baby turns and cries and we see like...
Exactly.
God.
But that's done.
Shemalion.
But what we don't see, what we don't get is we get... It's a freeze frame on the baby's like covered up. We don't see that. We just hear the weird cry.
Like in the end of Return of the Living Dead, the Tina.
It kind of validates our criticism of his form of agoraphobia. And I think that may be end up being the weakest part of the movie is that, yes, he forces himself to leave. But if agoraphobia is his real fight, then he needs to struggle with it more or something like, I don't know.
I'm rewriting this movie tonight.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do like
Hulk
Hogan.
I think we just did.
Hulk Hogan and what's his face rewriting No Holds Barred to 72 Hours. Now, who is the head of WWF?
Vince McMahon.
Like, hold up in a hotel room. I would pay $100 to have an audio clip just of that 72 Hours. Just listen to the sorts of
insane. There's a lot of cocaine.
I would want a
fucking mountains of
cocaine. I would pay upwards of 300 just for a GoPro video of the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to get that.
I know,
but
it'd be nice to see.
Any video. Like, can you... I would pay $50 for a draft that includes...
Yeah.
A draft that includes, like, handwritten notes from them, just, like, coke-fueled fucking nonsense.
With, like, still residue still on the script.
I don't know why you need that. You got the movie. There's your
coke-fueled
nonsense.
I mean, this is pre... this is still probably typewriter, or at least word processor.
It's a word processor. Yeah.
I just want to see a printed copy of that they were just like
on a floppy disk.
I want to see the one where they scribbled on it and like it's like an old house. You hit it and just white powder goes everywhere.
Or like at least you have like in the footnotes someone just like stars one line and says fuck yeah.
Do you think?
No, it would have been because they had Macho Man come out and it's oh yeah,
oh yeah.
But he writes it somehow and you know that's what it
Lots
says.
Lots of O-H.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the entire script is just yeah for 140 pages. That's yeah says it all.
They had to have someone read it, and so that's who they got. They got Macho Man.
And then like one line of exposition, and then there was an elbow drop, and then done. The end.
I like to think he has levels of it though. Like someone's like, oh yeah.
Oh, yeah?
You can tell it's like
right. He's like the Hodor
question. Yeah. Oh yeah.
He's
oh,
in
yeah?
A, right. He's like in a meeting, and someone's like, "Well, this is the direction we'd like to see your character go."
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Hey, Randy. Bad news. While you were wrestling, like your mom passed away.
Oh yeah.
Are you gonna go? We need some time off for a funeral.
Oh yeah. This is terrible, but
it's
also
good.
Quite entertaining.
Good.
I'll tell you one thing we'll never lose is our small wrestling demographic of people who listen.
I know.
Even though we're not huge fans.
I'm by far the biggest wrestling fan.
I would
of all
say
of
that I'm not a fan at all. I know
used to
about
love
wrestling.
It. I used to love it.
I did too. In high school, I watched a lot of wrestling.
I'd loved it. It was at least in middle school. So yeah.
I was WCW when I was.
You in middle school would have been. Oh, that was way before when
you
I was
even born.
Go on, you watched Hulk Hogan and Friends.
I don't
the cartoon.
That. I probably did.
Oh yeah.
I was into wrestling in middle school
because it was Hulk Hogan and the Junkyard Dog and
Andre the Giant,
and
like the bad guys were of course
Roddy Piper and Macho Man and Ultimate Warrior. I think maybe
I don't think so.
In a racist tirade against,
but there's certainly Iron Sheik. Yeah. You had Iron Sheik was a bad guy.
Yeah, the Iron Sheik obviously
Captain
because
Lou Albano,
it was the 80s.
Captain Lou Albano.
Oh, Captain Lou.
And or, was or Mario
the Iron? Not Iron Sheik, but Nikki. Well, I was a
Nikita
you
Khrushchev.
Know, I was actually a bigger fan of the wrestling NWA as opposed to the WWF. I was a bigger fan of the National Wrestling Alliance. So I was a fan of Rock and Roll Express. Road Warriors were in NWA. Rick.
Well, I was a big WCW guy. When,
yeah.
When
well, this is before
yeah.
all
no,
of that.
Yeah, but that was when I. Yeah, but
this
yeah.
is when Magnum TA.
Hulk Hogan's Rock and Roll Wrestling.
There you go.
Magnum TA and Nikita Khrushchev were their Magnum TA. I went and saw them in a. I actually went and saw a wrestling match.
Ric Flair is always.
Ric Flair, funny, that's, yeah. who was, that's who
I was.
I
was a big Sting fan.
The Four Horsemen.
Yeah. Whoa. Okay. So.
How has this podcast gone into wrestling?
Oh, okay. One minute. The voice of Hulk Hogan in this TV show was Brad Garrett.
Not Hulk Hogan. That's
not
funny.
Hulk Hogan. It was Brad Garrett.
Brad Garrett from Everyone Loves
Everybody
Raymond.
Loves Raymond. Huh. Brad Garrett.
Who knew?
Oh, yeah.
And someone
oh,
knew.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine.
That guy.
And then...
that's amazing.
I'd be curious to know
I think
if
I would... Nate, that is the fact of this podcast. Brad Garrett was the voice of Hulk Hogan at a point.
That was the fact of the fact that Macho Man did the voice of the Kool-Aid guy. Oh, yeah.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
That was not a fact.
I really wish he was, though.
Why? He did snap into a Slim Jim. That was way
Ooh,
better.
Oh, yeah. How long has it been
since the bad guy's
How long
led
has
by
it been
Roddy
since
Piper?
Slim Jim?
Excuse me. It's snap into one.
I snapped into a Slim Jim like six. I will occasionally just get a Slim Jim from the store.
What is it made of?
Oh, well, did you see I don't want to know.
Hey, look who was the voice of Junkyard Dog.
Silence. Hey, Brian.
Oh,
talk.
Hey. So yeah, I had a Slim Jim. I guess it's been about a year. You know what I'm a really big fan of are the spicy like sausages that are in that weird fluid inside of a gas station.
James Avery,
the late Uncle Phil.
How about that?
Yeah. I guess crazy.
My vinegary, spicy sausage comment's just gonna go unnoticed.
None of the people who were the people. Voice the people. That's crazy.
What did they have to do?
And Jimmy Superfly Snuka was voiced by
Ricky Steamboat Dragon.
Louis Arquette, the father of the acting Arquette.
Guys, I think this podcast has spiraled.
I don't
it's
think
pretty
so.
Pretty awesome, though.
We have talked about
hashtag WWE.
We have talked about so many interesting topics. We have talked about the Time Life videos. Mm-hmm. Okay. We talked about wrestling. Okay.
Do you think our friends across the pond ever had the Time Life books?
I don't know.
Let it
I don't
them.
Think
they
so. Cause
go visit.
Isn't Time Life an American magazine company?
And you can't get American magazines anywhere
no.
else.
Not before the internet, you could.
Not before the internet.
Oh, God. They didn't even know what was going on over here.
Do you think, but Drew, do you honestly think that there was a big subscription for Time Life in England?
I don't know.
Yeah. I wouldn't think so. Yeah. I would say not. I would say there wasn't a big subscription for Time Life after World War II.
I changed our... description of this podcast on Twitter.
A podcast about wrestling?
No, to it's yeah. You say we talk about the movies that are good and some they're good, some that aren't so good or that are horrible and then horrible. Get it? I changed it to we talk about horror and everything else.
We talk about horror movies sometimes.
We loosely base our podcast around horror films and then reminisce.
All right, so as a way of finishing up
Little Riverbend called the movie. And they wanted to sponsor us with their song Reminiscing. Do you even know that song?
If you, yeah, in a Liverpool brand.
We'll go walking in the park, talking in the dark and reminiscing.
That's not singing, that's just talking.
You knew he wanted that.
Hurry, don't be late, I can hardly wait, I said to myself when we're old.
That's too long, please
Little
stop.
River Band, the ultimate late 40s adult contemporary.
Right.
They have songs like Happy Anniversary.
I don't care at all.
The Other Guy.
I don't care about Little River Band.
Tonight you're going to go home
Wrestling
listen to
was more interesting.
Tonight you're going to go home
I
listen to
I don't care
River
about
Band.
Little River Band.
Try not to.
Their music sucks.
I'll make you a mix CD.
Okay.
Not MP3 too. I would make it actual.
He's gonna make a mixtape.
Yeah, it's gonna be. It's gonna be.
Where will you
like
listen to it?
15 tracks. The same way you listen to Operation Mindcrime, just zing into the back of his car.
I don't need that.
Huh?
When we, I gave him the.
Oh, I was gonna say. So you're saying that I was like, I just listened to the tape for Hysteria today.
No, he,
I have a tape player
I gave
in my
him
car.
The.
I remember that.
I gave
now,
him the
yeah.
CD, and he's like, oh great, Brian.
And that was a big mistake on his part. I'm gonna say
it was.
Yeah.
It's still a point of contention between in our relationship. But
yeah,
that's fine.
So at the end of the
His
movie, he gets
of Operation
the most
Crime.
Horrific part of the movie was seeing all the deadish babies.
Yes,
the creepy crawly babies in the cages, shopping cart cages.
Creepy crawly babies was my favorite expansion for the creepy crawly. What was the thing called that you'd put the gel into?
Creepy crawlers.
Creepy crawlers. Yeah, yeah. Creepy crawly babies was my favorite expansion for creepy crawlers.
Can I say?
It's my favorite rejected Alice Cooper song.
Creepy crawly babies.
I was like, oh, we've already done something similar to that. We're not going to do creepy crawly babies.
$1 billion creepy crawly babies.
You know, in your other podcast, you interviewed me about my past jobs. That scene reminded me of a time I had to go into a hoarder's house. An animal hoarder.
Babies?
No, she had animals in cages stacked 3 to 4 high.
Jesus Christ.
And her,
save it. We got to save it.
Well, let me just finish telling this part of the story. The animal that I was there to pick up was dead in a dark basement, and she sent me down there. Something growled at me the whole time I was down there.
What?
I was like, I can't see. Do you have any lights? No, there's no lights down there. I was like, well, where is the dead animal? Just keep walking. You'll find it. I did find it.
Oh,
something,
my God.
Something
That's
growled,
a horror movie.
And
That's
was,
a line from a horror movie.
That was really one of the only times that I had that job that I thought, someone's going to kill me here. I pulled my knife. You know, I had my knife in my hand ready. I always get the little pocket knife. I was like, I'm going to stab the first fucker who touches me. I don't care if it's a dog or what. But the, it's good. I walked out of that house, called animal control, and said, you have a hoarding situation. Gave him the address.
As you should have.
It was a fucking nightmare.
So when I
this animal, the animals had eaten through the drywall, and like things were sticking their heads out of from other rooms through the drywall to look at me.
I wish you had taken pictures.
I was like, oh, hang on, ma'am. This house is fucking bananas. Let me take some pictures. Before I leave, this place is fucking crazy.
Jeez.
I'm definitely going to interview you about that.
I already told the story. It's too late.
Man.
It's done.
Man.
You know, anyway. Brian doesn't tell stories more than once.
Yeah.
Oh, God. <man. laughs> So go see Citadel?
Yeah, go see it on your couch on Netflix.
Yeah, watch it.
I say if you're bored, watch it.
You've already paid the $7.99 for Netflix. Watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I watched a lot of in the past years. I wish this had been one I'd put on our list in October to watch over some of the other things I've watched.
So we couldn't do a podcast about it? What are you saying, Drew?
Yeah, because then we wouldn't have, but I would have already seen it. It was better than some of the other things I've watched. That's all I'm saying.
I got you.
Yeah.
I don't get you. Hey, guys, I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
It wasn't that difficult to understand.
And that's Drew.
We're going to get off the mic and beat the shit out of him.
We won't. Once we get off the mic, we don't even talk to each other because we talk so much.
It's kind of like when Penn and Teller talk about, when Penn talks about, like he and Teller are business partners. He said they don't even hang out outside of the job anymore.
We're
at
like
all.
Metallica.
We'll take our separate planes.
We take our separate cars to the podcast, and then literally because we had to come from different places.
But even if we could, we wouldn't.
We're
ride
in
together.
Three different rooms right now.
Yeah.
Right. I am at my house in beautiful Santa Monica, California.
I'm in Brian's bedroom.
As he always is.
As I am wont to do.
Drew is in Athens, Georgia. We kind of just said Athens because, you know, it's kind of hip.
We're good. It's a scene.
Anyway, I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler again.
I'm Drew.
Again.
Again. Oh, for the first time. Thanks for listening. Remember to follow us on Twitter, HorriblePCast, HorriblePCast. And remember, the Horrible Podcast. That's all you have to listen to.
Rate and review the podcast, please.
Please.
Just
please.
A minute. Just click 5 stars.
And thanks, Crystal, because you have.
Yay.
If you're still
and
listening.
And that first one hasn't even gone out yet. Yeah. It will at this point, it will have.
This week.
Yes.
All right. Let's end it.
Love you.
I love you, podcast.
I love you, internet. Thanks for listening.
finger.